amendment. All those in favor? None opposed, carried. And on the resolution itself, amended resolution, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Request for noise exemption. Resolution 24-192, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby received report bylaw 2024-01, request for noise exemption, B. Burgoyne, for information, and further grant a noise exemption to B. Burgoyne to the subject property as applied for on Saturday, August 10th, 2024, from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. and further that hand-delivered notices be provided to those within 150 meters radius of the property at least 2 weeks prior to the event, and further note that the township will supply a list of civic addresses that must be notified. Discussion? I guess the question is, how can we be assured that those have been delivered? Is there any follow-up?
Yeah, last year for the Rib Fest event, I gave them the list of addresses, and then they gave it back to me with the check marks as who they can deliver it to. So it is an honor system because right. I can't validate that all the addresses were visited, but I did get some correspondence back.
Okay. I guess Tom would know if we didn't and somebody complained.
Well, yes, you follow up on a complaint.
Yeah.
I guess the other question is, what if somebody did complain? I mean, that they weren't notified or whatever, or they didn't agree with this. Do they have a certain time to respond? You're saying 2 weeks prior to the event. Now, if they complain within 1 week of the event, what's the procedure we follow?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Well, it's during the day. I know it's noise, but people got to lighten up if they're going to complain about a band playing during the day.
Depends on how good the band is, I guess. But.
Do we get to choose?
I think this band's good.
Oh,
the one
they're
getting. Yeah.
Any further discussion?
So, Carly, you give Mr. Burgoyne a list of the people.
I do. Okay. Yeah, I do the mapping so it captures all the civic addresses within the radius, and then yeah, I provide him with just the civic address and no other personal information about the owner.
Okay.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? None opposed, carried. Another request for noise exemption. Resolution 24-193, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Ryan. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report bylaw 2024-02, request for noise exemption, the second annual Rib Fest event, for information, and further grant a noise exemption to A. Lale on behalf of the MLCA, Manitowoc Lake Community Association, at 701 Highway 124 on Sunday, July the 7th, 2024, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., and further that hand-delivered notices be provided to those within 150 meters radius of the property at least 2 weeks prior to the event, and further note that the township will supply a list of civic addresses that must be notified. Discussion? I think I asked before, but was this cleared with the seniors? Is everything okay? Or?
Yes, they're going to have cards on July 6th, so the Saturday prior to Rib Fest, because Rib Fest is on the 7th.
And that doesn't conflict with anything on the 6th? I'm sure you checked. But.
Yeah, no, the seniors are happy and the Rib Fest committee is okay with that as well.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to correspondence. Resolution 24-194, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support the Township of Amaranth, Resolution Number 4, with regards to requesting the province to treat all municipalities fairly and provide equivalent representative operational budget funding amounts to all Ontario municipalities, and further that this support resolution be forwarded to the Premier, Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, Association of Municipalities of Ontario, AMO, and the Township of Amaranth. Discussion? Councillor Kekkonen?
I think just reading some of the whereases in the original Amaranth resolution is helpful in understanding the context here. Whereas the City of Toronto has recently received provincial funding to cover a $1.2 billion operating shortfall and approximately $12 million in federal and provincial funding for their police operating budget. And whereas the City of Toronto has the lowest tax rates in the province, approximately 40% less than the average Dufferin rural municipal tax rate. And then it's the request be resolved that the Township of Amaranth call on the province of Ontario to treat all municipalities fairly and provide equivalent representative operational budget funding amounts to all Ontario municipalities.
Yeah, and we'll take them at the word that they've done research and that's factual information from them.
That was going to be my question. How do we know that they have the lowest? But
call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. We have resolution 24-195, moved by Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Hassman. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received an email dated March 14, 2024. Sent on behalf of District of Parry Sound Social Services Administrative Board, CAO, Tammy McKenzie, requesting municipalities submit a letter of support to the Children's Aid Society regarding the Youth Wellness Hub Ontario application, and further the Council approve of the draft letter and authorize the letter being signed and sent to the Children's Aid Society. Discussion? Was that the letter we saw that you had signed?
No, it wasn't
signed
yet, but it was a draft.
Right.
It was included in the agenda package.
Right.
Yeah.
No, very well.
Yeah.
It's put
together. It's a very good letter.
Yeah. All the questions, all the favor. None opposed, carried. Resolution 24-196, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby receive a letter dated March 12, 2024, from the Parry Sound High School Commencement Awards Committee, and further direct staff to ascertain the number of 2024 graduates from McKellar Township who have applied in order to adjust the budget accordingly. Discussion? Now, how does that work for those? Does everybody get something to sort of divvy it up if there are three applicants, for instance?
Yeah, so last year there was two applicants, so the budget was divided in half. Each student got 50%. This year, we're thinking it's probably going to be two again, but we're not quite sure because the applications haven't come through yet. But I'm just speaking with the high school, just determining if it's going to be a higher or lower year, just so if there happen to be five students, does council want to raise that amount? But I'm thinking it will most likely be two or three.
Okay. That makes sense. If you get too many, then, of course, mm-hmm. just a little amount of each of them.
Yeah, now I believe it's we budget 1,500,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Isn't it, if it's only two, it's still a maximum 500 per student?
I recall.
That's my recall.
It's not.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's there would have been 500 left over, which I don't know, we should have almost considered putting that small amount into a reserve for the year that there is more than, there is maybe a bunch of them, because then say if you did all of a sudden have six, which is probably going to happen in the distant future, but by the time you divide the 1,500, it's not very much, so I don't know whether we want to consider that going forward, that if there is only two kids, then at the 500 each, that would put that other 500 into a reserve. Or
that makes sense.
Yeah. Can anybody answer what happens then? Are we saying we only have two high school graduates from McKellar, period? And does that mean the others don't graduate high school or go somewhere else?
Another year. Per year, sort of thing. So.
But given the number of students involved in public school, I was at McDougal School with my grandchildren, I know, but I mean, so where are those students going, or are they simply dropping out of school?
I'm not following, sorry.
It's a graduating student going on to further education.
for apprenticeships.
No, I understand that. I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm just questioning why. Where are the others going? They're just finishing and that's it? I mean, it doesn't speak well for our community, quite frankly, if that's true. And there's probably many mitigating factors that I don't know, but it's just really a very broad question. I mean, what's happening with the other students? And are they dropping out?
They're different grade levels, some of them.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, we really had to do some digging. We only had one student who was actually going on to college.
Mm.
But then we, after doing some digging, we knew that Reg Moore's granddaughter was going on to the police college. Well, that application doesn't go through the high school.
Sure. Yeah.
So we're aware of it. And Spencer Jacqueline's son was taking a heavy mechanics course, or not mechanic, a heavy equipment course in New Liskeard, I believe. That was so that he could go on and further his.
So we're just missing them because they're not caught by the
but
high school.
But if it's not going through the guidance department,
that's probably a good explanation.
They don't.
Sure.
They're not aware of the ones like that, or the kid who goes to work at Connor Industries and starts an apprenticeship for a welder. The high school might not know about ones like that, and that's where we get our information from. So we have to do a little bit of digging if there's anyone extra that we're missing.
So only the ones that go through the guidance?
That's the only ones that the high school notify us of. That's why we did some digging to find out about other kids that are furthering their education, but it wasn't going through applying to a university or applying to a college.
So should we maybe be posting something, like at the beginning of the year, saying, you know, that McKellar's offering this?
Well, it's a question of tracking, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a high school that actually has a department that can coordinate with these other people going off to different trades and that. Who coordinates that? How do we know? So that's the hard part. But
we could also ask the student and or their parents to submit whatever we want to call it, an application for
right.
it, so that we're not disenfranchising other people that simply don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We could have public notices. We could put it on Facebook. We can do other things too. But if we had something at some point during the year where we told people, if you're from McKellar, know this and do that.
Well,
right.
I think a good place to start would be to review how the policy is written.
Yeah.
And if it's not written in that context, then we need to review how the wording is.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Like, do we list of McKellar residents graduating from grade 12, can we access that?
I would think the guidance counselor should be able to provide us with graduating students, not just a list of the graduating students, whether they're furthering their education or not. At least then we can do our research from there and contact those families.
Could get on the school bus here and figure out who they all are, trust me, right?
No way.
I'm not suggesting that we do that. I'm just saying. That way you'd know for sure, right?
Yeah.
And for some of these students, that might make a difference whether they can or not, right?
Okay, I think it's a good idea, Councillor Keckner, to have a look at the policy and see how it's worded and go from there. I'll call the question on this resolution. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-197, moved by Councillor Haskin, seconded by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby received the District of Prairie Sound Social Services Administrative Board's support resolution with regard to Northern Ontario Service Deliverers Associations, NOSDA, resolution number 24-007, and further that Council support NOSDA's Reaching Home Funding Resolution. And further, that this support resolution be forwarded to Prairie Sound Muskoka MP Scott Aitchison and Nipissing Temiskaming MP Anthony Rota. Discussion? I'm just wondering with this, is there any way similar to what Councillor Keckinen was referring to? and I don't know how far it goes, whether it can be done, the attached resolution, just so that something isn't missed then, that shows up that the resolution, the original one, is there as well. call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-198, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Tekkinen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McCullough has hereby received the registration for the AMCTO Zone 7 Spring 2024 Workshop to be held April the 25th and 26th, 2024, at the Manitoulin Hotel and Conference Center, Little Carl, Ontario. And further authorize Administrative Assistant Mary Smith to attend the workshop with applicable expense to be paid by the Township. Discussion? If somebody wants to speak, okay, go ahead, Councilor Zulak.
I just would like to, when she goes to that workshop, if it's carried, to get a report back. Yep.
Now, my age-old question, of course, has an agenda been produced yet?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay. But those who have gone before, worthwhile agenda?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. The amendment is, and further, that Mary Smith provide council with a written report on topics covered at the workshop. Written report on topics covered. Okay, so that's more than just the title of the block. Actual information under, okay. Any further discussion on that? Call the question, first of all, on the amendment. All those in favor? None opposed, carried. And now on the resolution as amended. All those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 24-199, moved by Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive a letter dated March 14, 2024, from Lynn Campbell, Assistant Librarian with the Township of McKellar Public Library, and further grant permission to the library to install a display case placed in the hallway leading to the council chambers on the wall opposite to the existing planning/council meeting notice court board to display pamphlets from community groups and government agencies. Discussion? We have a prop here. Okay.
One picture's worth a thousand words.
That's right.
I brought this forward at the last meeting and council.
Well, I don't
agreed.
Remember seeing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, they didn't have this. But that was prior to Lynn Campbell putting in this letter. It was discussed at the library board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And council had agreed that it would be okay because we had said, could they use the court board? And they said no. So another board would be appropriate.
What's the width there? How far does that extend? I just don't want somebody running into it.
Not very far.
Not very thick, no.
Okay.
It's good.
Well, it is good. Okay, yeah.
Quite skinny.
Excellent. And what are they going to put in there again? Just so the public who didn't read the information?
Just pamphlets and things like cottage country, you know, stuff that sometimes used to go on the at the counter.
Yeah, we used
and
to
any
have.
Pamphlets that they have or surveys. Anything that the library.
Okay, so they'll monitor that and what's
mm-hmm.
in there.
Well, because you see on their door they have a million posts
yeah.
and you never can read them all. The same with downstairs on the bulletin board down by the
And what monitors that?
The post office. That's why I had asked at the last council meeting if it was able, if they were able to get another board to put up just their stuff for the library down
mm-hmm.
there, and council had said yes.
That's not the post office responsible for that, right?
No.
So I guess it is.
Yeah.
I mean, if things are dated.
They don't.
I know most people just put something over top of it rather than removing it, but. Any other questions for that?
That's excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the questions then. All those in favor? Opposed? Carried. I have resolution 24-200, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby dissolved the Township of McKellar Sesquicentennial Centennial Committee. Discussion? Is everything finalized there?
Yeah, I believe everything is finalized, and I'm sure they'd be okay with this motion, because unless we make them do a 151 year celebration.
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah.
But I don't think they'd be agreeable. So they did a fantastic job, so yeah, it's time to... That brings up a question: is when somebody leaves a committee, should there be a motion removing them from the committee? Or at one time, we used to, at the start of every year, we used to appoint whoever was on that committee at the start
mm-hmm.
of every year. Because what's happened through the years, we don't do that, I don't think, anymore. And somebody would join the committee, you appoint them, then they leave, but there's never anything to say they've left.
Sometimes we get, like, if we get a letter that somebody is resigning,
mm-hmm.
then we have a resolution to accept the resignation.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if somebody does leave, you just got to make sure the office knows.
Yeah, we need to get something so that
yeah.
we know.
From the committee, yeah.
Yeah.
They should know.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be a good refresher to, reappoint every year just so every council knows who's all on the committee, whether
That's
we would be interested
in that. That's probably a good idea, to reappoint.
And it's put out there to the public too, and they see
mm-hmm.
these names who are volunteering on these different groups, and it may even say, oh, that I know that person, maybe I'll join that committee.
Mm-hmm.
So
or the other way around. Who's on that committee? That's a good point. I'm just thinking I've seen in the past too, where, as you say, internally it's all done, and you've got somebody voting who hasn't been appointed. I mean, that does happen too. They get in there before they've really been officially appointed.
Right.
So your suggestion might be good. But I think a lot depends on the committee itself to make sure that this information does come back to the office staff
mm-hmm.
before they start putting people in without legally going through the procedure. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something whether we would want to do that at the start of every year. And then it's clear to not only council, but to the committee also. That you come forward, oh, well, you forgot so-and-so, or that person is not
sounds good.
On the committee anymore.
On the to-do list, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Call the question, all those carried. Not opposed, carried. Resolution 24-201, moved by Councillor Haskell, second by Councillor Ryland. Whereas the Township of McKellar released a request for proposals, seeking proposals from registered professional planners to provide a review and new versions of the Township's zoning bylaw and official plan. And whereas four proposals were received with cost estimates nearing and in excess of $100,000. And whereas the Township had previously worked to update the Township's zoning bylaw and official plan. And whereas Section 8.09 Professional Services of the Township's Procurement Bylaw 2019-44 states that the procurement of professional services shall be at the discretion of council for ongoing predefined services planner. Now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby consult John Jackson of John Jackson Planner Inc. to reintroduce an amended official plan amendment number 9 and present a draft amendment to the Township's Zoning Bylaw 1995-12 update housekeeping issues, items raised by the appeals of bylaw 2019-23, and any further other items determined by council. And further, that an agreement between John Jackson Planner Inc. and the Township of McKellar Keller be prepared by John Jackson, setting the terms of the agreed upon length of contract, including a timeline, deliverables, costs, etc., and further that notice of a public meeting will be mailed with the final 2024 property tax bills in July to notify all ratepayers of the public meeting. Discussion? All the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. And resolution 24-202, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Zulak. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby the bylaw number 2024-25. Being a bylaw to authorize an agreement between the Corporation of the Township of McKellar and Circular Materials Ontario, CMO, a first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed in open council this second day of April 2024. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-203, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby given bylaw number 2024-26, being a bylaw to enter into a purchase and sale agreement with Cogeco Connection, Inc., for the purchase of the communication tower identified as the McKellar site, in quotations, located at 3 Sharon Park Drive, McKellar, Ontario, POG1CO. A first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed in open council the second day of April 2024. Discussion? Councillor Kekkonen. A
couple of questions. Purchased assets. Purchaser acknowledges that the vendor is not the owner of the 10x10 building located on the property, and as such, such shelter is not included in the purchased assets. So who owns that 10x10?
Good question.
Second,
and I'm just saying, because of a number of things here, we might want to consider finding out some answers before we sign anything.
Then on page 3 and top of the page, point 1, take the purchase assets in the present condition, declaring have seen and examined, seen to its satisfaction, and having verified itself with the relevant authorities that the use it intends to make of the purchased assets complies with the laws and regulations in force. So who has inspected this asset? Does it meet all the requirements for a radio tower? Has it met? Because when you look at the warranty, it says, and this is just before ownership, the last paragraph before ownership, without limiting the generality of the above, as the effective date of this agreement, purchaser shall assume all liability for future decommissioning costs. So the question is, do we need this? If we need it, has it been inspected to ensure that it meets the standards and safety criteria for a radio tower? And if we don't need it, how much is the decommissioning costs going to be?
All good questions. We need answers to. Whether we talked to the fire chief about it, because I noticed, I just went and inspected today, there's a line running from the building over to the fireball. Now, I don't know what that line does, what's being transmitted, so maybe they are using something from it, so I think they should be consulted and see if it's worthwhile. As you say, I don't know what that building, who actually owns it then, because my understanding of it, when it went up, it was all one part and parcel. The tower, the dishes, two satellite dishes sitting there too, they're not mentioned. Well, they're mentioned that they're there, but that's not part of it. I guess they're going to take those back. And then the building itself, that's been there forever. So I don't know who owns it then. And I don't know what's inside the building. It was always locked. Whenever somebody came up there to approach a Cogeco representative, they would have a key to get into that door. So I don't know who has a key now or what's in the building. It's it must have been the equipment of some sort. But for them to say that they don't own it, that's a bit of a shock. So I think, yeah, a lot of questions before we sign that. Mm-hmm. And as you say, if it's not being used, it's not worthwhile, whatever, the decommissioning may be it's worth, and maybe let them be commission if we don't need it. I know the original deal was set up so that they wouldn't be charged. They talk about a fee in there, I think it was $1,000 over the number of years, but part of it was that the deal, they would lease the property in a sense and provide service to the township here at the building, and I don't know where else, maybe the fire hall. And I don't know if that was ever followed up or not, but we've had many providers since, so I'm not sure if Cogeco is still hooked up to the building or not. Does anybody know?
No, I just, I know they weren't going to offer that in a new contract, because
no.
That was the one thing they said. They said they will not be providing internet to any of our buildings.
Okay. So I guess the question is, who's in charge of the follow-up some of these questions to contact the fire chief?
I've made a list of the questions.
Okay.
And I'll the fire chief.
Okay. And I think that whether we sign this agreement or not, we still should, they should still fulfill their outstanding amount that they owe the township of $1,416.66. But this should not, that should not be tied to the agreement.
That's on page 3, right, Mike? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So, how do you want to vote on this? Are you deferring? Are you defeating? Are you what?
Defer.
Deferral?
Yeah.
It's okay. We'll call questions for deferral. All those in favor? Not opposed. I have unfinished business as of April the 2nd, 2024. And to be added to that, anything tonight, of course, they haven't had an opportunity yet, so.
I sent out an email today about the volunteer waiver.
Hmm. Yeah, that's something, well, you can explain it, but I'm almost giving up on it.
Yeah, well, it's been pretty frustrating endeavor. They've confused me a million times with legalese, but at the end of the day, they're saying that if the cottage organization themselves go onto the road and do maintenance, they will not be covered by our liability. Waiver or no waiver.
Yeah, I think that has to be clarified, because that's what they're saying in their latest epistle there, that there's no coverage for volunteers on that road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think what we're looking at anyway, of course, we're moving ahead with Fire Road 152. In the interim, it's still an unassumed road in the township's name now, and I think it's just a question of, you know, hopefully it doesn't get into a state of disrepair, that people can still travel on it. But again, with our, and as I said, we'll move ahead as quickly as we can to, we've already investigated looking at costs for what it would cost to upgrade for an assumed road. And so that'll be investigated hopefully this year, this summer, and then go from there what our next step might be. But I would say that people on the road not to expect any maintenance, according to our policy, that it's an unassumed road and we don't do the summer maintenance on that, as our director of operations indicated earlier.
So in the past, the associations that represented the repairs on these roads, they would have their own liability insurance? Was that the...
I really don't know how they operated. I don't know if they were a group as an association, that cohesive of a group to do that. I'm not sure.
I think they do, but I don't know that, Mike. I've never seen, certainly never seen any evidence in like casual conversations. Yeah, that's my understanding, but that doesn't mean it's in place, that's for sure. So
if council is open to it. I know we're coming closely to the question period. I noticed online we have Scott Buckingham. He may be able to answer it for us if he's available. Mr. Buckingham?
He's muted right now, but that doesn't mean he can't hear us.
Right.
Scott, can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I don't know whether you just heard our conversation here about Fire Route 152.
Yes, I can. Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
The question was on liability insurance?
Right. We were just wondering if the association had its own liability. We're receiving word that the township...
We can't hear you. Yeah, you're cutting in and out, Scott.
So the question is liability insurance. The association has coverage for its members only?
Including members doing maintenance, though, Scott?
Correct.
Again, that's what I understood, but with no definitive proof, but just...
Well, okay, so if they have coverage for even doing work on the road, then I guess it's something we have to consider because it is township property now.
Yes, we have work... We have coverage for our workers and the members for any liability associated with them supporting the work on the road.
And within that liability clause, does it name the township as insured that we wouldn't be liable for anything?
No, it does not.
Okay, that... Concern now, since it is a township-owned road, I'm thinking we should be discussing that if somebody does go on and do repairs, and we're not, and if something happens, of course, then we would probably be brought into it. So we have to be aware that of what is going on, and that the township is not responsible for whatever happens on that road.
Yeah, based on the conversation I had with you over a year ago, the town has its own liability insurance on the road.
Yes, it does, but that's not necessary for people doing repairs on the road, and that's what we have to clarify here. We're not covered, we've just been told by our insurance company, for volunteers repairing the township-owned road.
Again, we have signed no liability waiver. We are going based on direction we've got from council that maintenance of the road will continue as per the path.
Sorry, Scott, as per what? I didn't hear that last part.
Pass.
Sorry?
Pass.
Tax?
Pass.
Per the path. Oh, any maintenance we did in the past, we would continue to do until other arrangements are met.
Does he have that?
Okay.
A copy of that? Can we look for it?
Okay, thank you for the information. Appreciate that. Anything else on the unfinished business? Something that you're not frustrated about?
No.
Still on the unfinished, I guess, so it might be, but... Okay, on to new business. Councilor Dubois.
Yes, I'd like to see if I could get a motion, and concerning like the official plan and the zoning. So that all correspondence concerning the official plan and required zoning bylaw received by any council member must be shared immediately with all members of council. If I could get a motion for that. Mm-hmm. Do you want this to...
Yes, please.
That just so that everything is up front and
sure.
Nothing is... We all know what page we're on.
to ask a question while we're...
Sure.
I've had the RibFest committee, notably because my wife is on it, follow up about whether council would either be, I forget the term.
Judge or participant?
Yeah, judge or participant. And there's really no pressure for either one, just simply to provide an answer, and I don't know if council has an opinion and or something that, you know, we'd like to do. Left to my own devices, I would certainly volunteer to be a participant in it, like running a table and doing things like that, but being a judge is fine with me too. I just think it would be useful and helpful to the committee, the RibFest committee, that is, to, you know, get an answer from us, that's all. And I see Debbie smiling, I don't...
Well, I just think that you want to be a participant, right? So are you going to cook the ribs?
I wouldn't want that.
Representing council? No.
That's what I'm saying. Who's cooking the ribs?
Black ribs, everybody.
In any event, I'm happy with whatever council decides.
Yeah.
I just think that we should
give
them an answer. Yeah.
So they can set their stuff up.
And as for cooking the ribs, I don't mind. I do it all the time anyway, but not for RibFest. So.
Well, I wouldn't mind judging because then we get to taste them all.
True.
Okay. Yeah, I believe I'll be barbecuing for the rec committee. I believe I'm roped in the lot.
So we'll just warn people about those ribs, just not ours?
Oh,
we'll do the best.
You have to be set up in the booth side by side, so you can show up in the middle.
That's true. Yeah, you could be using both hands, right?
Resolution 24-204, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby requested that all correspondence concerning the official plan and required zoning bylaw received by any council member and staff must be shared immediately with all members of council and staff. Discussion? Shared in what sense?
Divulge.
I know, but how?
Yeah.
Oh. Email or paper? Telephone call?
No, I would say email or
meeting. I mean, any emails that we really receive here, we can forward them, but we can always do hard copies and put them in the mailbox.
So maybe instead of information received, correspondence received, or
it says correspondence.
It says correspondence.
Okay, so then that
correspondence, that's anything, right?
And then staff will pile them up because that'll have some... that will affect some decisions that will be made when we're working on the documents. And so in the meantime then, letters can come in from the public also. They obviously know we're going to be working on it.
All correspondence.
All
from the public, from anywhere.
Okay, so even so.
So that's if you're getting anything from anyone.
So one's coming in to the office from the public, which they may are now going to be... will be
shared with
contacted.
Us.
Shared with us. Okay.
Yeah, it's a question of looking at amendments, changes. they can certainly look at what exists now and make suggestions,
right.
And then we can pass that on and work with that, and hopefully they will. But then the actual document with the changes amendment will come back to council for discussion, and then the public meeting as well. So there are probably more people at that stage, but certainly in the interim, yeah, they could send out things.
Yeah, so we may not be incorporating any of their concerns or suggestions into the first document then.
But any correspondence that they send, if they send something in,
yeah,
it'll be sent out to council.
Yeah,
and
we're
council
aware
can
of it.
Decide whether it's going to be
whether it's in there or not or whatever. Yeah, sounds like we should have it covered.
To cut down on emails, could I make a Google Drive link and then dump them all into a file?
That's what I was thinking, yeah, a file.
And then you're not bombarded with email after email? You can just go in and peruse at your leisure?
Sounds good.
Do we like the Google Drive
I don't
thing?
Think.
No? Okay.
Well, there might be a lot of emails, you're right. So,
yeah.
So it sounds like a good alternative.
Could file them there, and then at some point, if we want to have a hard copy of what's accumulated at a certain point in time, then we can have sort of regular sort of printouts of those emails. Like, you know, we're not probably expecting anything for quite a while until getting close to the public meeting. But yeah, it's good to plan ahead. So maybe just
The Google Drive, it has it will have all the emails in there.
So it'll be a file on Google Drive that the emails will be in.
So I can access that.
Yes. So if
so
I had
you
an
have
email,
to show me how to access that.
Okay.
That's our problem because you did that before for something and I couldn't do it.
Well, it's almost like you'd need to index them based upon the content that an individual is talking about, so that, and there might be more than one comment or suggestion or whatever you want me to call those things, but it needs to be indexed in some way other than just being a pile of documents about anything.
Yeah, I can have
anything.
Different folders for a different context.
It's one thing to say that, it's another to do it, I recognize that, but I mean, it needs to be organized in some fashion.
I think it'd be easier for me just to organize it electronically, and then if there's a point where council wants it in a hard copy, I can do that, but I'm not sure how many emails there will be, but I think it might just be easier to e-file for now.
Okay.
So if you do that, we can print our own copy?
Yes.
Okay, we could print our own copy of everything that comes
out.
Okay.
Okay, any further discussion? Call a question, all those in favor? Not opposed, carried. Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members. The committees you sat on, workshops. The council has who wants to speak to the planning board.
I can, you can. Well, I'll cover the three that passed for McKellar and the one for Whitestone. If you want to cover the one that was deferred for.
Oh,
it's a fair trade off.
Set me up for that one.
The Fire Route 160, the Perry Town Area Planning Board deferral, right?
Right.
I don't know if you want to touch on
the
details there.
The reason being, it's the consent agreement and the way it's worded. And there were a number of solicitors there on all sides, except the township side, of course. But the concern was that it was an unusual consent agreement in 5126 in that there was a suggestion that the township would take township equipment in on a private road if the ridge, the owner, faulted on maintaining the road. And that's plowing, whatever you had to do to maintain it. And even though we were told that that's, it's something that the township, we were not obligated to do it, we could suggest to do it. But I think the feeling generally was that as long as you put down that it's a possibility, then you'd go to intent, that you are willing to consider it. And so what we decided, that's what we threw out there anyway to the proponents, was that even our solicitor, at the owner's expense, could draw up the 5126 agreement so that those clauses would be removed where it says we perhaps could go in on those roads. And that would just be an agreement similar to other 5126. And really, we were informed too that the 5126 is usually to safeguard for the municipality to prevent the municipality having to go in and do anything on a private road. The agreement actually stipulates that we're not responsible as a township. So we I don't know whether any words come back yet or not from the cottage owners or the owner of the ridge. And really, it's in their court at this point whether they want to have our solicitor draw up the consent agreement. Even whether the planning board wants a consent agreement. Right now, there's nothing in there. The consent agreement was removed as a condition. And so just deferred by the board, and then it has to be decided, are we going to put it back in as a board? And if so, what's it going to look like? So it's sort of up to them right now, what next step they take. And I haven't heard anything back. Are we going to speak to the others? They all passed, you said?
Yeah, there was three from Calera, I believe. Yeah, they went through, and one for Whitestone up on Trail Road back in Grail. So, yeah, other than that, yeah, you covered it. Good day, what happened there. So, unfortunately, I think we're trying to put it to rest, you know, Fire Route 160, but it didn't work out. We'll still be involved in probably some talks regarding the agreement on 160.
Okay, other committee reports? Councilor Zula?
Library meeting, well, you read the minutes, so pretty well everything is in there on the library. Also, they were wondering about getting a corporate card for the CEO, so I spoke to Roshan, and he was going to check into that because they just have their own personal cards. And I don't know if you've heard anything back. I haven't spoken to him, but he was going to check into it because apparently Whitestone has, their library has the use of Whitestone's corporate card. So
yeah, I'm not sure how it works. Even our fire department, I noticed signing a lot of checks for things that our fire chief is purchasing on his own account, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's generally what we've done here, so I don't know what this corporate card is such.
I don't know, because they, the CE, Terry, she checked with the bank to see about getting a corporate card, and they said no, because they have three signatures. They have like the chair and the co-chair, and then Terry has to all sign. So he said no. So they were going to, but yet Whitestone, they have one. So they're going to see, Roshan was going to phone and see what how they do it, see if they can do something.
It's interesting because they're their own body in a sense, the library board.
Yeah.
And for them to use the township's corporate
card, see,
that's
the thing. So I don't know. He was going to check into it for me and see what they can do. The other thing was, I think, I'm not sure if I mentioned this before, but Debbie Woods, like the chair, she has now got a key for the library, but she doesn't have a key for the front door. So would that be possible for her to get a key for the front door?
Yeah.
So somebody could do that. And
that's probably a good idea. I don't want to raise this issue, but who has keys? And what do they open? Because I know one of the concerns we have, I guess, a lot of people can enter through the kitchen and without a key.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So I don't know whether we keep track here in the office or who.
We actually have a log of
the
keys that people sign so that we know when they bring them back, they signed, that they brought them back. The codes for the door, Mary takes care of that, and if it's for a one-time function, the code is put in, it's taken out. After the function.
Okay.
So there are certain groups, somebody from rec will have a code, the seniors have a code to come in, the Sunday seniors, the water healer has a code to come in, but other than that, and it's recorded as well.
And there are cameras at every door anyway. So.
Yes.
The only other thing was they, because they're redoing in the library there, the computer tables, right? And that they're getting rid of because they're getting new tables. Well, apparently that was brought to staff, but that was never mentioned to council because staff said that they weren't interested in the tables. But that was never brought to council.
No, it was never brought to council. I know that they had talked to, Carly, was it you or was it Mary they talked to about them, but we didn't have anywhere in our office where we can use them. I know that Rob Morrison was looking into, I don't know if it was Shelving, though, for some reason comes
I
to my mind.
Yeah, I don't know. But I mean, the historical or the room behind the kitchen or the youth room or something might have an interest in those tables, and I think that that should have been brought to council.
Okay.
Where are the tables now still?
In the library still. They're the ones that they have the computer. You know, it's a table that's like this, and then the computers are on it that way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right there. So they're getting different ones. And I know historical might be interested in them. Cause,
they're that old, are they?
Yeah, really. that's all. The only other thing is Belvedere. So I know that there was an email sent to the mayors regarding the line of credit and a motion that Carling had passed in principle. Mm-hmm. And so I was concerned with that because it went to all of the mayors except for Jamie McGarvey. It didn't go to him, and the response for that when I questioned it was that the chair at Pan Wing did not have an email for Jamie McGarvey. So instead of sending it to Jamie McGarvey, it was sent to Clayton Harris. And
now, just one clarification here. Sent to the mayor. Did the mayor pass that on to council members?
The mayor? Yes. Me. Yes.
Yes, I did.
Sorry.
So I'm fulfilling your fulfilling your other resolution than anything I received.
Okay, there. Yes, you did.
Okay.
Yes,
just
I'm sorry. Or else I wouldn't have known about this. And then she apologized because she never sent it to any of the board members.
You think they should
She never sent the email that she had sent to all of the mayors. She never sent it to the Belvedere board.
Yeah.
And this was the resolution from Carling?
Yes.
So it did happen. The stuff I read is like...
Yeah. Well,
like,
no, in principle, Carling passed a motion in principle. And what was supposed to happen was she was going to gather information wording for a motion to come to the Belvedere board for us to pass on to the municipalities. And when I had said that, Don Carmichael on the board said that that's not up to the board to make up the motion, it's up to the councils to make up the motion. Anyways, so I just think that when it sent to Clayton Harris, CEO, that escalated it. So now all the clerks and the CEOs are meeting and agreeing to have Don attend and draw up a motion. What, and that was my question. Why is the Belvedere board not preparing this motion and sending it out to the townships? And so why are the CEOs all meeting and discussing our business? Like, why are the CEOs going to meeting about different things?
What, the CAO, they discuss...
And the clerks.
The police services board financing the... there was the Belvedere because... They wanted to know if anybody else had signed, and everybody was saying no, 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 nobody signed. But they had confusion whether they wanted clarification whether an agreement, whether it was going to be signed or not, if it was only for the purposes of purchasing the life leases, or whether it was going to include maintenance, which they didn't agree that it should be just for that. And what the purpose for that discussion was is that there would be one resolution that would be the same for all municipalities.
I know.
Well, and it seems to be the procedure anyway, which I've watched for the last little while, is that the councils themselves, or townships, or wherever it's worded, turn the details over to the CAOs and the clerks. I don't know how often they meet. And the West Perry Sound Collaborative, for instance, that. The pool's done that as a steering committee. It sounds like Belvedere's doing that now, but you're saying it's not Belvedere doing that. So I don't know whether it's they're just doing it themselves or whether it's the council, somebody supporting them. That's the way to be done because they have the expertise and more time.
And the wording.
And the wording.
Yeah, and the wording. But in the long, so to make a long story short, I guess they would like to know if the townships want to support this line of credit. So they're waiting for the townships to respond to the line of credit for the life lease units.
Yes.
So, another little bit of information, there was a life lease unit that went for sale, and they had three people come and look at it, but nobody was interested in it. So, that's where that lays. That's a bit
that's, and they, when they did
that's
discuss
the gist
that,
of it.
Yeah. And
that's the gist of it, but it was just the way it happened. I thought it was not proper.
Okay. Anything else? Any other committees? Okay. Resolution 24-205, moved by Councillor Haskell, second by Councillor Ryland. Be it resolved that Councillor of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you wish to pull from that list? Questions, comment period related to items on the agenda from the public, either in person or on Zoom. If we still have connections. Okay, hearing none. That resolution 24-206, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-28, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council first and second reading, further read a third time and passed at open Council the second day of April 2024. Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Resolution 24-207, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at 8:42 p.m. to meet again on April the 16th, 2024, or at the call of the mayor. All the question, all those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.